Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have a terrific show for you today. We have one of my favorite people on. We share common friends like Bob Griswold. And you go, oh, Bob, love him. Yeah, he comes on here regularly and a real popular guest. But his name is Craig the Sawman Sawyer. And he's got a really interesting background, and we're going to start with letting him introduce himself to you, though I know a lot of you already know who he is. And then we're going to get into the child trafficking issue with totally open borders. I'm sure since the last time I've talked to Craig that the dynamics have changed dramatically. They couldn't help but change with the numbers we have crossing, unsupervised numbers. But before we join Craig, we need to take care of some business very quickly here. I just talked to a farmer again this morning. The federal government is really moving under Biden to cut off the food supply. I was given example after example after example by this farmer. Stuff I already knew. He confirmed some. You need storable food. And MPS is one of the few left standing. There's a few other really reputable companies out there, but not many. A lot of them have sold out to the government. A lot of them couldn't stay in business because of COVID. But we're still holding prices firm, and we have specials. And to find out all about the product and the specials they offer, go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. And I'm concerned about roving blackouts, as I'm sure all of you are. We know now they're going to be national, but we don't really have any specifics. Are they going to be an hour, a day, a week? We don't know. And so if it goes on very long, people, or if Putin takes down the grid, that's another threat. You better have water filtration. You may have to scavenge water. And we have, we think, the best water filter out there, according to the research. Go to waterwithdave.com. And they, too, have held the price and not raised it. They have specials as well. Plus, they published the research on the efficacy of their product. That's waterwithdave.com. And one more thing. You know that I have a long-term relationship with Noble Gold. I fear digital coming here. In fact, I just watched a video this morning on the World Government Summit, and it was on YouTube, believe it or not, and these globalists were telling us what was coming. And when digital comes, your freedom ends. Totally. Totally. Economic freedom, thing of the past. You need to get outside the system as much as you can. Gold and silver and protecting your IRA with gold-based backing, those are things that everyone should be doing right now, unless you're one of the 40% of Americans that has less than $1,000, and my advice is to buy food, and God bless you. I hope God changes your fortune. But if you have a nest egg, folks, you owe it to yourself to talk to Noble Gold. I became a happy customer about 4 years ago, and I'm going to have a little softer landing than I think a lot of people out there who have not heeded the advice. Keep your money in the bank. Be prepared to lose it. Noble Gold can be reached at 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347, and we have clear sailing with Craig Sawman Sawyer. Welcome to the show. Glad you could join us. Been too long since we've talked.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dave. It's good to be back on with you.
Well, the Bible talks about, you know, better to tie a millstone around your neck than to harm a child. So I hope the Lord is manufacturing a lot of millstones because he needs them. And I'll let you just kind of run with that.
Yeah, well, look at what we're dealing with. Look at what we're seeing in our country. So much of what we're seeing going wrong is clearly spoken about in the Bible. And it's like watching history play itself out. It's in a lot of ways it's disheartening, and other ways it's not a surprise at all. If you've read the Bible, and if you've read what the globalist cabal, for lack of a better title, have articulated that they mean to do, if you've looked at any of their plans that they keep submitting and admitting to at their summits, then you can no longer be surprised at what they're doing. And it pains me to see people struggle to understand why Biden is failing at every single step. And it's not that he's failing, it's that he doesn't serve the American people. He works for our enemies. He works for a globalist regime that's out to accomplish global power. They want a unified system, and Marxism is the preferred system that gives them the total control. And so they have to break the United States as we know it to achieve the level of tyrannical control that they're after. They've said it, they've demonstrated it, they've written it in their legislation, and we're watching it play out step by step. So, you know, I see that concerning things are happening, but I also see that there's great news in that, because there's a need, and where there's a need, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for every good man and woman to step up, to intervene, and help others, to make a positive impact.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to go down that road, but it's interesting you expressed what you did. You're describing the word intentional to talk about Biden's actions. Intentional, and I'll add in something, dismantling of America, its values, its economy, the whole nine yards. And what's really interesting, Craig, is yesterday morning, Congressman Jim Jordan went on Fox Business Channel, and he said the same thing. He goes, it's hard for me to believe anymore that this is not intentional. And he went on and listed a whole bunch of things that Biden has done. So even within the mainstream of some of Congress now, they're beginning to say what you just said.
Yeah, but they have to word it much more softly like that. Like, it's hard for me to almost believe.
Yeah, I know.
This is accidental. And I would say, if you look at it honestly, if you have the moral courage to face the situation for what it actually is, you would realize very clearly that this level of incompetence does not exist at the global level of power. You cannot get past dozens of checks and balances and filtration processes to get to the most powerful seat on the face of planet Earth and be utterly incompetent and fail at literally every single thing you've ever done.
Yeah,
you can't get there without somebody putting you there, and it's impossible. This level of failure is impossible to happen on accident. So it is, and it is following very closely. It's exactly following the plan that they've been announcing that they're going to carry out.
So exactly.
Day by day, watching it play out.
Before we unfold and carry this over into one item and then expand from there, the child sex trafficking, I want you to tell people just a little bit about your background, what you've done, and what has brought you to doing the really good work you're doing now.
Yeah, well, I was raised in a loving family in southern Texas and went off to become a spec ops warrior. I wanted to make war on the terrorists to stop them from coming here and ruining our peace and our freedom and our way of life. And so I threw my back into that. I did Marine Corps and SEAL team, ended up at DEVGRU, the highest level of counterterrorist operations. And then I did, when we started having babies, I wanted to be home to raise them more than I was in the SEAL team. And so I went into federal law enforcement. I did that for 5 years and then ended up back overseas doing high threat mobile security for the Department of State and the intelligence community, moving their senior officials around the war zones and keeping them safe. So it was good work, but I was still away from my family too much. And so I got into film and television. I had friends telling me I'd be a great technical advisor to teach the actors how to look like they knew what they were doing if they're playing the role of military law enforcement or like an assassin. And so I started doing that. I did that for 10 years, and I was on several TV series like Top Shot and Gunning Time with Arlie Ermey, the drill instructor from the movie Full Metal Jacket, and things like that. It was great. And then a friend of mine, I ended up over in South Africa running counter-poacher operations to try to save the last of the endangered rhinos for a miniseries called Battleground Rhino Wars for Animal Planet. And that was good work. And then a friend of mine from the intelligence community that had grown up just north of Houston where I had let me know what he was learning about child trafficking inside the United States, how dark and ugly and abusive it was. And some of the agents that were part of the raids and recoveries and investigations describing how this is not like other crimes. This is it's a spiritually motivated crime. These people subscribe to ancient false gods like Baal and Moloch, where they're supposed to sacrifice children. So they torture children to death and they rape them and they do all kinds of heinous things because these are very, very sick people. And so he said, look, you got to realize this is the fastest growing criminal enterprise on Earth right now, and this area of North Houston has become the hottest epicenter inside the United States. And I thought, you know, that I just feel like I got punched in the gut and slapped in the face and assaulted. That was the epicenter of my homeland, our American culture, everything I'd fought to defend. And I just was very upset about it and not okay. I felt deceived, like I'd gone to 60 countries around the world to defend our nation, to have the predators already at full tilt, destroying and harming and terrorizing our children right behind my back. So it's like this, David. This is an important analogy, I think, that will help people understand why I've chosen this mission and what I'm out to do. So I founded a nonprofit organization to counter this child trafficking in the United States. And I realized that it's a child sex trafficking inside the United States is a domestic covert operation, and it's run at an industrial scale. It's at $38 to $50 billion a year.
Oh my gosh.
In annual revenue. So if it's, so their estimate is between 38 and 50. If it's closer to that 50 billion number, that would mean that it's bigger in annual revenue than all of our pro sports combined. That's no small anomaly. That's not a small problem. So how can that run so pervasive at industrial scale without the populace being any more witting to it than we are? Well, the reason is their corruption, really, in a word, corruption. They enjoy a lot of top cover from the news, from corrupt officials, and it is swept under the rug. And just like Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein, whenever they are caught, nothing seems to come of it, and it goes quiet, and the train rages on, and the children continue to get tortured and slaughtered and demoralized and traumatized, and it's absolutely evil what's happening. And I realized, okay, if it's that easy for them and they enjoy that much top cover, one thing that I know about corruption is it cannot withstand exposure. Sunlight is the best antiseptic for corruption. And so if you imagine the United States with a big black cover over it of deceit and secrecy, and underneath that cover is just a beehive of abuse to the children, and it's dark under there, and evil has its way. Evil runs with impunity underneath that blanket of secrecy. My job, my mission, is to pull back that blanket and expose it and fry it with the healing, cleansing power of sunlight and explode. Mm-hmm. And look at this filth, America. Look at what they're doing to our children. It's just not okay. It is absolutely evil. It's such a no-brainer cause. Let's stand up against this, and instead of allowing them to do this with impunity, let's start changing everything. Let's reverse what Alfred Kinsey spent his lifetime doing, which was, Alfred Kinsey was a science fraud. So in the 40s and 50s, he was very active at politicking to normalize the entire notion of child rape, to make it seem like it was somehow normal and good. Well, he went to our psychological healthcare system in every state, our legal system in every state, and our educational system in every state. And he had some CIA money behind him. He had a lot of global funding behind him, pushing this narrative that raping children was somehow normal and good. And several generations later, we've got ourselves now an epidemic. And so if one scummy science fraud can start this avalanche of destruction, Dave, I figure a lot of us good people with bold conviction and just a little bit of moral courage and determination can start a wildfire of healing and correction and beat this back and create once again a safer place for children. So that's who I am, and that's what I'm up to, and that's why I founded Veterans for Child Rescue.
Yeah, that's fantastic. If I were a child sex trafficker right now, I'd be a little nervous. Ladies and gentlemen, Craig really undersold his background. I just want to add this in, Craig, and I don't want to embellish anything, but I know some things about your background. one of the top snipers and became a sniper instructor, SEAL Team 1. I could go on and on. This is not an enemy that sex traffickers want. And it's not that he's going to use his sniper skills here, although I think at some point in time there needs to be capital punishment for these people, judicially, of course. I don't want to go before the J6 Commission. But, Craig, I look at this, and I'll tell you, the first time I really found out how bad it was in 2007, and I interviewed a lady who was going around to the Super Bowls and handing out literature saying this is the biggest sex trafficking day for America, and they're using the cover of the Super Bowl, and they're trafficking kids to visiting businessmen and so forth. Were you aware of that, and were you involved in trying to combat that back 15 years ago?
No, I was completely unwitting to this 15 years ago. I only learned about child sex trafficking to the degree that it exists about 8 years ago now.
Okay. Well, I always say, you know, we need more people on this, but what do you think the media complicity is in this? I can't believe that all the media people that make a decision to cover it up, you know, at the producer level, that they're all complicit in the behavior. I don't think they're all visiting Epstein's Island. So what role do they play in this, and how can they be made to go along with the cover-up?
That's a good question, and I'm anxious to answer it. First, I want to share something that ran through my mind as you were going through that, is that, you know, I have had an above top secret clearance for over three decades and read into some highly classified programs and involved in some pretty important things surrounding our national security. And again, traveled to 60 countries in duty for our nation. And I did not know about this giant crime. So no wonder our neighbors don't know about it. It seems like everybody should know about it, but we don't. So that's how much top cover this crime enjoys. And you don't see on the evening news them celebrating the U.S. Marshal Service taking down 100 or even 200 child predators at a time and rescuing 80 or 100 children at a time, but they are. And you'll see a lot of times posted the news articles, but you won't see it on the big mainstream news outlets. They don't even speak about it. You'll see articles and you'll see the stats and you'll see the agencies involved. A lot of times U.S. Marshal Service, FBI, and Homeland Security Investigations are the three that are most active on the federal side, but it just doesn't get much exposure, and it absolutely is bigger news than so many other things. But as to why the media or what level of complicity they must have, well, you can just read up on intelligence community agencies and what programs they've had over the years to have control over news media, and you begin to understand very quickly why we're not told more. And if you don't think that they're issued central talking points, just look up some of the videos where you'll have one news anchor making a statement, saying a paragraph, and then they'll bring up another one. And then before it's done, it's like 50 of them, and they're word for word quoting the entire paragraph. And so they are absolutely issued a central narrative. And if you trace up all the major news networks to their owners and controllers, you'll realize that they're all owned by those with global Marxist political ideology. So certainly the executives are absolutely complicit in the deceit of their fellow Americans, like Quislings. They are traitors, they are sellouts, and they betrayed everybody that they ever cared about or loved. Now, at the local news anchor level, or at the one that's sitting on screen with the microphone, a lot of those sadly are unwitting. They don't know, and quite frankly, they don't care to know. And I've talked to a lot of the anchors. I'm like, my gosh, do your colleagues not stop to think that when they're selling their fellow Americans into this idea of big government, you want communism, socialism, Marxism, it's good, you know, give up your guns, let's pervert the children, let's destroy our nation and usher in this globalist one world government, it's going to be so great. Do they not realize what's going to happen to their offspring and their children and their children's children and everybody they cared about, and their colleagues tell me, no, Craig, they don't think about it. They don't, it doesn't occur to them. They have no concept whatsoever. They're literally reading a script. They don't know about it because they don't get out of the studio and go, they're not like investigative reporters. They sit there and read the evening news. So they're reading a script. So they're just, they're doing whatever they're told, and they don't care to examine it any further. So I think, Dave, to answer your question on that, is level of complicity, it depends on rank. Those at the execs at the top, absolutely, they are complicit. The ones at the bottom are unwitting quislings, betraying everyone in their country and not having a clue and not even caring to learn.
Years ago, I interviewed Nick Bryant. By the way, he just sent me an email the other day. We're going to get him back on. But Nick Bryant exposed the Franklin scandal. And that was basically the program, and I hear it's still in existence, where new congressmen are brought in, new senators, and they're the sex and drug parties, and they may choose to withdraw and not even participate, but they photograph them, videotape them in ways that make it look like they're being compromised, even if they're not doing anything wrong. And then when key votes come up, they can get votes changed. And Nick and I explored that together. Gosh, it's been 13 years since I interviewed Nick for the first time on this. And he told me this is how they compromise Congress against going after trafficking. Do you think there is a similar situation, a carrot-stick approach with these executives in the media?
I don't know what the motives are there. I know that what Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein were up to was an intelligence gathering operation. And in the intelligence community, they refer to it as a brownstoning operation, where they blackmail people in just the manner that you described. They'll either drug them, or they just throw a big party at a mansion or island, and they have every manner of debauchery there for these self-righteous people who want to be in charge. They want to be public figures, and they want power. And they're lusting after it. They'll do anything to get it, including going to these creepy parties to fit in and get blessed off for higher access. And sometimes a lot of that higher access depends upon their willingness to do things that compromise them. So let's just say an example. You rape this small boy. We're going to video it, and then we'll have it. And then you work for us, not the American people anymore. Whenever we pull your strings, you jump. Or we go public with this video. And because you've done this, we'll give you the next promotion, or we'll give you the next access to whatever, or we'll boost your campaign to get into higher office. And so that's why you and I, Dave, don't get what we vote for anymore. Somebody will run on a certain ticket and say, hey, I'm all about this, that, or the other thing. And we're like, yeah, that serves our best interest. We'll vote for you. They get to D.C. and they do the exact opposite. Why? Well, because they're probably on video raping children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just as Nick Bryant has said. And I just imagine in the media, there's got to be some type of either enticement or framing of the same nature. To me, if you go back maybe 30 years ago, if someone would have come across sex trafficking as a reporter, done investigative reporting, they would have won all kinds of awards. Today, they'd be called a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate. And I know that's what you're battling against. So you want to pull back the cover of this heinous industry. But if the media is not paying attention, where do you go?
Well, now, thank God, there is every manner of media emerging. So what used to be the top three channels are really irrelevant anymore. Their numbers pale in comparison to what's on the internet. And so there are people and corporations starting new platforms all the time. And we, for an example, we didn't air Contraland, our documentary. It's very powerful. It walks you through the realities of what's really going on with the children. And we offered it to the populace as a good faith public service alert at no charge. So folks, go to contralandmovie.com and watch it. connect it to your smart TV, watch it on a big screen with this audio up. It's high quality documentary, and it will read you in on the realities of what's happening, and you'll understand a lot more what a big scale this is, and connect you to our website, v4cr.org, where you can get a wealth of knowledge and tools on how to get involved and help coordinate and counter this heinous abuse. So
let me backtrack just for a second here. The video you're talking about, how long is it, first of all?
It's about just over 90 minutes.
Okay. About the same length as 2,000 Mules. Okay.
And documentary film.
Okay. And it's Contraland. I'm sorry. Can't read my own writing here. Contralandmovie.com. Okay. Contralandmovie.com. Okay. And then the website again that you gave out?
V4CR.org.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because we'll post this to our website as well. I want to make sure we include this information here. Do you have an estimate on how many people have seen your documentary?
No, because it aired to 90 million households on Daystar Network, but they do not subscribe to the service that tallies how many actually consumed the film. So they were unable to give me numbers on that. So we have no idea.
Wow.
Yeah, it needs to keep going. And we're trying to get churches to air it. But that's another thing. People need to have the moral courage to stand up and condemn the entire notion of raping a child. And a lot of churches now are too soft and unwilling to empower their people with the nature of what's really going on and educate their church. So we're urging them to grow up and get hard enough to where you're not going to stand by and just allow the destruction of our offspring without lifting a finger. There's nothing biblical about just standing by and watching massive harm done and being so soft that you can't be part of the solution. So,
yeah, I want to come back to the churches in a minute, but I want to go to the parents that are listening right now. And they're going to be saying, well, you know, we got pretty good control over our kid. They go to a decent school, and there's no CRT or that nonsense, and they're involved in wholesome activities, and we go to church and so forth. So it's terrible that kids are involved in this, but I don't think it's going to affect my kid. I think that's the biggest delusional belief that a parent can have. Can you address that?
Well, I applaud all the positive things that you described some of the parents doing. Sadly, what parents don't realize, due to the evolution of technology and the predator techniques, is that on smart devices like a cell phone, your child may be on a game or on an app that seems harmless, chatting with a friend. And that friend, though, could very well be a full-grown predatory adult. And some of these apps that look like a game or just a little video app can actually be geolocating your child and directing the predator from anywhere on earth directly to your child. And they can track your child walking home from the bus stop or on the playground or wherever your kid is. And they can capture your child's face, run facial recognition software. They can surreptitiously capture video of your child, and they can send your child video and still images of a child of the opposite sex of your child and coming on to your child and saying, hey, you're cute, I like you at school, you know, I want to be your friend, you know. And then after some time and trust is established, the predator starts showing revealing pictures of the child that he has access to. Let's say it's your child, Dave, he's a boy. Let's say he's a 13-year-old boy, and it's a 13-year-old girl that says she's new to his school, and she's cute. She sends him pictures. Hey, you seem nice. Will you just be my guide because I'm scared? A new girl at school. And, of course, if he's chivalrous, he's going to try to be a gentleman and help her. And so they chat, and after a period of weeks or months, she starts showing him some revealing pictures of her, saying, this is how much I care about you. I feel really close. Can you you know, do the same for me so that we're like, we're tight, we're, you know, we're together, we're in this, we're both got buy-in and commitment. And maybe he does, because he's 13, he has no idea how this world works. And then the predator can say, well, you know, I've got these nudes of you or this inappropriate picture, send me more. And if the boy ever stops and says no, predator can say, well, I'll show this to your parents if you don't, or I'll send it to your entire school if you don't, or I'll put it on the internet for millions or even billions of people to see. And maybe the boy kills himself because he's never dealt with that level of stress or betrayal or compromise. And he doesn't want to dishonor and humiliate his family. Maybe he can't see around it because his little mind isn't fully developed yet. Far from it. So that's the harm. That's just one of dozens and dozens of scenarios of how a kid from a good family with a good life, with good education, can be completely compromised. And I mean, and another scenario could be is, hey, I've got trading cards, or I've got this or that, or whatever your child's into. Video games, I'll swap you video game. Maybe it's another boy like that says, hey, I can swap you video game. Meet me at the, you know, at this whatever place, right? At the corner of this park or whatever. And your kid gets knocked in the head or maced and thrown in the back of a creepy rape van, never to be seen or heard from again. Because they have no idea that this level of threat persists or exists. So our news media won't tell them. Law enforcement isn't putting out public service alerts on it to the degree that they should. Our national leadership is certainly not telling us anything that we need to know to safeguard our children from it. So here I am, a busted up veteran, trying to do the best I can to alert everybody the same way you would alert a friend that had, I don't know, any other threat. There's a wolf loose, a rabid wolf loose in the neighborhood. Lock down your families and keep an eye out, right?
Yeah, you said a couple of things that really concerned me, and I wasn't aware that a lot of traffickers had access to this trafficking devices, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised that they can track your kids in real time because of the game affiliations they have. That makes a lot of sense. That's actually the same technology that Dinesh Souza used in 2000 Mules to track who was stuffing the ballot boxes and where they were going. And so that's not surprising to me. Facial recognition, my gosh, this is sophisticated as hell. So I can't believe this is just your neighborhood pervert. This, to have this kind of technology, Craig, it just seems to me this has to go really high up to have this kind of access.
Well, look, if you take apps like TikTok, it's literally run by the Chinese Communist Party. Donald Trump wanted to ban TikTok in the United States, and the Democrats wouldn't let him. What would they care about a Chinese Communist Party app? Who cares? There's thousands and thousands and thousands of apps out there that do about the same thing. So what would they care? TikTok's one of the more harmful apps out there potentially for the children, because there can be surreptitious codes in these apps that allow predators to do these kinds of things. And there's no excuse for fighting a president that wants to ban some that are potentially harmful. So it's not that the predator has to have sophisticated access to technology. A lot of this stuff is you can go to the app store and download it. It's the technology has gone so far that where a lot of these things, they're not specialized anymore. They're general public access type of functions. And so we just have to be aware of what those are. And so we've got a list of problem apps on our website, v4cr.org. I urge everybody to go there, scan, look for the tools and the empowering knowledge there so that you can harden your family against this, so that your children don't end up as a statistic.
Shouldn't it be mandatory that, you know, state governments say you must teach this about history and government and so forth? And shouldn't state governments be mandating the schools that they hold parent education to educate the parents about these kind of apps and these dangers to their kids?
You use the word should, and I would say, yes, they should. But look at what we have instead. What we have instead is tranny hour where freaks are have access to our elementary school children and weirding them out and teaching them how to have anal sex. Now they want to do it at 5 years old, how to perform all manner of perversion and how to perform all kinds of sexual acts that children aren't even curious about. They don't even, for another 5 or 10 years, until they're starting to hit puberty, it's inappropriate to go into any of this with them. What they really need to know is that there are sick people out there that'll harm you, and there'll be a sexual approach, and that's inappropriate, and so beware of that. My dad, look, I'm 58 years old. My dad was a strong pastor, and he didn't get into any gory details, but I was aware that there were weirdos that may try to come onto me in a men's bathroom or any place where they had access. Just keep my little head on a swivel, not be terrorized, not steal my joy, ruin my childhood, not be terrorized, but just be situationally aware. If somebody you don't know, creepy, is even looking over the stall at you or something, like, hey, no, get out of here. You don't belong here. You know, don't go anywhere with them. Be aware that they may be up to no good. That's what children need to know at 5 and 10 years old. They don't need to be learning how to use dildos and every orifice and all the things that they are teaching them how to perform now. And I
know this is happening in the LA County schools, just what you're describing very graphically. This is reality.
Yeah, it's part of the ideological subversion that Russian KGB defector Yuri Bezmenov so powerfully articulated and demonstrated to us in his lectures in the 80s. And we absolutely should still listen to him, because very, very powerful. Once you listen to his lectures, you'll understand exactly what's going on in this country.
As an outsider looking in, Craig, I'm well aware of what you're talking about with the Soviet defector programs and what they warned us about, conquer you from the inside out and infiltration. What I'm wondering, though, have the Chinese basically taken that over from the Russians?
Yes, I would say the Chinese and the global bankers, they're all working together now. I think Trump refers to it simply as the cabal. I think that's probably an easy term to utilize, but I do see it as a global conglomeration. I've researched it every which way I could to try to understand exactly who, but I think it's kind of everybody that really wants to suck up, to move up to the global bankers that move the trillions of dollars around the globe, and they have the biggest control over international finance and power. So, yes, they work with the Chinese now. And, you know, I think, oddly enough, what used to be a mortal enemy of ours was Soviet Russia. That threat seems to have faded quite a bit. And it's moved over more to the Chinese Communist Party. The Chinese are, in my opinion, from everything that I understand from the highest level intelligence community and DOD officials that I know, they're like, no, Russia is not nearly the threat that it used to be. They're still not our friends, but it's China. And so we see one party sucking up to China and crying about Russia, saying that we need to worry about Russia, Russia, Russia. But it's really not Russia that's messing with us so much. It's absolutely China. So
that's what I would think, too. You know, there's something else I'm going to run by you, too, because I think it has linkages back into your main interest. I had someone.
Friend. We need to pay attention to where the real threat's coming from.
Yeah, we really do. I wanted to kind of bring this back to the infiltration level, though, and I think that trafficking is a big part of it. But I have a friend whose spouse is in one of the intelligence agencies, and obviously, I want to be really careful about what I say because my relationship is known. And another person that just retired from the FBI, just retired, and DHS. And let me tell you what I'm getting from people like this. The message isn't word for word, but it's still basically the same. We've been infiltrated, and this is the new reality, and if you don't like it, there's the door. And they're being told this in meetings. Are you familiar with this kind of indoctrination statements that are going on now?
Yes, because we had it in the Federal Air Marshal Service and after 9/11. I was one of the original air marshals in place before the 9/11 attacks and helped stand up the Las Vegas field office. And the executives who were defecated out of the bottom of several other agencies and sent over to the Air Marshal Service were of that mindset. They were bureaucrats, and they were only interested in their own careers. And the things that they would say was, hey, you need our culture. And I would ask them, well, what is your culture? So I can put it out to my men. I got 210 agents to manage here. What am I to tell them? You're saying we need your culture. What is your culture? Well, they didn't dare say what their culture was. And that was my first clue. I'm like, oh, it's so despicable. You don't dare speak it, let alone write it down and disseminate it to the troops. So they would say things like, well, you know, if you don't like this, there's the door. Go back to your former agency.
That's exactly what I'm hearing. And I mean, word for word, what you just said. And this is, and I've been told too, this is common. Dave, I said, gee, you're the third person that's told me this in 2 weeks. Dave, if you talk to a lot of people, they're going to tell you, we've been totally infiltrated administratively. And this is scary. I'd like to take this discussion down to the border for a second here, because we hear allegations, Biden criminally complicit in not obeying statute in the Constitution for securing the border. And the thing that I hear most often from people in places like DHS or my two Border Patrol sources is it's intentional, and the main driving force behind it is to import terrorists as well as child sex traffickers. I'd like you to comment on that.
Well, I see those aspects of it, but there's also a Cloward-Piven aspect to what they're doing with the border, being to overload the social services programs to bankrupt the economy. That's why they're sending hundreds of billions of dollars to different countries that make no sense otherwise. They're just looking to literally drain the U.S. economy. They're killing our international trade deals. They're killing our energy independence. They're killing our domestic manufacturing. Why? Because they mean to break the United States as we know it, so that they can usher in their heinous solution, which will be global Marxism. And we have to for them to wheel that in. And we have to be disarmed for them to wheel that in. And so that's why we keep going after the guns, even though it doesn't make any sense if you're looking at it and the perspective of the best interest of the American citizen. Of course, it'll never make sense. But if you look at it from a global Marxism perspective, of course they need us disarmed, because that makes it easier for them to take over. Yeah. With the border, they're demoralizing the Border Patrol agents. They're forcing them to take the jab or leave the agencies. And they're hemorrhaging tens of thousands of agents and demoralizing them so that they can destabilize. So now, instead of defending our border against all comers, against Chinese agents, Russian agents, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, backpack nuclear weapons, chem bioweapons, anybody who may come, diseased masses, nope, they're not doing any of that anymore. Now everybody gets to come in. And in fact, instead of stopping them from coming in, our Border Patrol agents have been demoted and made now to merely serve as escorts to make sure that the criminal invader is comfortable and facilitated into a speedy illegal border crossing and given a package of money and tickets and assistance and connections, so that they can put them on a plane or a bus and send them deeper into our country. So it's federal government assisted illegal human trafficking. They want the votes because they feel like most of the people from third world countries would be okay with free money from the big government. I say free money with quotes, because you and I both know that nothing's free, that you and I are paying for everything that the taxpayers is stolen to provide for these programs. So there's a lot of trafficking involved with it. Yes, it's spiked. It's off the charts. We can't even track it now. There's so much harm. The fentanyl is pouring across like never before. It's the kind of thing to where in Texas, they had the highway patrol down there, the DPS and they had the National Guard down there, and they had the Border Patrol working, and they had some other local agencies working to protect the border, but they were scattered and there was no central control. Because there was no commander's intent from either the governor or the president, then it was ineffective to have these different agencies down there because they weren't talking to each other. They had no central radio freak that they were on. They had no central command. They had no central directive. They were each working on their own agency's plan and completely separated. It's like a football team. You get all players on the field and you don't tell them, you give them each a different play to run. And they all scatter and nothing's effective because they're easily exploited because they don't understand any central command of a concerted effort. So you lose the power of teamwork.
So and that's the concerted bureaucratic effort that we alluded to earlier in the conversation. Another question I want to ask you here, and I know this is kind of random, but parents are listening and they're thinking, okay, it made sense about how the kids get trafficked and enticed into trafficking, but how common is it to have kids just snatched off the street? Let me just reference one case that's recent. At a Dallas Mavericks NBA playoff game, a 13-year-old girl was kidnapped and trafficked, and then she escaped. And so what I'm wondering is, how common are these kinds of cases? How much should parents be worried about this?
Well, it's common. I mean, our daughter was taken at knife point when she walked out of a Subway sandwich shop. A guy walked up, put his arm around and put a knife in her side and led her off into a nightmare. And it can happen any of a number of ways, but I would say that kidnapping or body snatching style isn't the most prevalent. Sadly, Dave, we've got abusive parents selling their own children. We've got reports of CPS and foster care abuses where children go off the books and are sold outright like a piece of meat. And those seem to be the most common accusations and cases that we're getting coming across our desk. And so children are even learning to traffic themselves and each other. It's just gotten to where the campaign of demoralizing and destabilizing our country has started to take on upon a life of its own now. And we do need some moral and ethical standards, and we need our laws enforced. And so sadly, you know, so many of our judges and district attorneys and even attorneys general have been compromised because a lot of them's campaigns are funded by global billionaires like George Soros. He'll agree to fund their campaigns and assure that they get into office if they won't prosecute child rape crimes, or if they won't prosecute arson and rioting type crimes, because that's what the radical left utilize. And so,
yeah, I want to really validate what you're saying about the CPS. There was two cases I've been involved in, actually. One involved a State Department employee where she was on the wrong side of political issues and they came and grabbed her kid without cause, without allegation. They just used the local police to grab her kid. And then they sent him out to two gay male parents that were abusing him. And her father was a listener to my show and told her to call me, and she did. And we worked on this. We eventually got this turned around. But the state of Virginia's, I forget what they call their CPS. It goes by a different name. But they were complicit in this, and they lost a lot of kids. And at the same time, Oklahoma had lost like 70 kids. Here in Arizona, where I live, we had a similar situation. And a state senator who exposed it said he had his life threatened over exposing it. And in Colorado, there was another case I was involved in where we found the same things. So when you say CPS, I want to validate what you're saying. I think it's more common that most CPSs do this than don't do it.
Well, I know that there are a lot of CPS people that are acting in good faith and doing a good job. So I'm not one to paint with too broad a brush because I see where the harm comes in that. Mm-hmm. But we do need to investigate. CPS is generally a state-run entity, so state by state, it tends to run differently. It's got a terrible reputation here in Arizona, as an example, with horrific accusations.
That's right. You remember the Senator McFarland case? He was threatened. And he even accused a member of the Senate who was in charge of CPS as being one of the sources of the threats. And so it was really ugly here. But, yeah, we have a real problem in Arizona. You're absolutely right about that. But the CPS, they farm these kids out, and then these families, so-called families, move, and these kids just go off the books. They don't try to track the missing kids. That's what I found.
Yeah.
Yeah, very disturbing.
Sad. Yeah, the scenario that I'm hearing most is that they'll target young single mothers, particularly minority mothers that may not know what legal recourse she has here in the U.S. She may be working multiple jobs trying to raise her kids by herself. God bless her, doing the best that she can. Mm-hmm. CPS can roll in there with badges saying, hey, we're the official entity. We're deeming you an unfit mother because that kid looks a little skinny and that kid looks a little dirty. So we're deeming you an unfit mother, and we're taking your kids. And she doesn't know what to do about it. And they take her kids and they put them in the foster care system. First of all, they get a big fat cash bonus for taking her kids from her. And then the child goes typically into a foster care system and bounces around from family to family. And all families are different. Some are very loving, some are abusive. And then eventually the child goes off the books and then sold on the black market. Take this child, murder him, her, torture him, her to death in a satanic ritual or whatever you want to do. And that is just not okay. So
I've often felt that CPS was a wasted bureaucracy because the laws of abusing a children exist, and the police can come in and make their own determination. And I never liked the idea of a separate bureaucracy, and they really violate the Constitution constantly. It's one of my pet peeves. I want to ask you a question before we have to close. Your job would be easier, and the situation would get better with sex trafficking if we could do this one thing. How would you answer that?
If we could alert the entire populace, we need to educate the entire populace on the fact that we have this industrial scale problem, this harm running 24/7 against our own offspring. That would be the main thing, because once the American populace understands the dark and evil nature of this abhorrent crime, then we could all get heartbroken and ticked off like I am and unite and demand that the educational system change, that the legal system change, and the psychological healthcare system change to omit and deny this industrial crime against our precious and innocent and defenseless children.
So it would be important for people like you to do as many shows as you can do and more, and for people like me to air those shows and to encourage action. That's yeah, seems like that's the what you're saying here, and I couldn't agree with you more. I tell you, I don't get any angrier when I do a show except on this topic. I don't think there's anything that angers me more than going after our kids. One last question. Do you see that these sexualizing programs that you very graphically described and accurately described, do you think that's the grooming of turning kids into future trannies or bisexuals or so forth?
I absolutely do.
Yeah, I do too.
That's what predators do. They groom the children. They expose them to vile content to pervert their little minds and defile them and get them started on that perverted mindset and make them and break down their defenses against that type of trauma.
You know, as a former mental health therapist, I can tell you I know why they go for the ages 5 to 8, because before the age of 8, kids engage in fantasy thinking and their contact with reality is not really strong. That usually comes in about 8 or 9. And so when they're teaching these kids these horrible things, these kids don't have the experience or the cognitive ability to actually reject what they're being told. They embrace it on a fantasy level. And that can stay with you through life. That is the really frightening thing, and it's so criminal. Hey, before we go, this has been very informative. Tell people again how they can follow your good work.
Yes, sir. They can go to vetsforchildrescue.org with that, the four being the number four. So vets, the number four, childrescue.org, or you can go to v4cr.org. That's our website. And on there, you'll see a link to our documentary film. Please not only watch it, but think about it and share that link with everybody that you can. Okay. The biggest names, ContraLandMovie.com.
Exactly.
It's powerful. It's very accurate, and you will be better for knowing it.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. This has been very informative, and anytime you want to come back on, just let me know, and we'll do a show. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Craig Sawyer about one of America's most despicable crimes going on, and please get involved. Thanks a lot, Craig.
Thank you, Dave.